May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 952. Beloved Saviour, faithful friend, the joy of all thy blood-bought train, in mercy to our aid descend, or else we worship thee in vain. 952.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Word of God, the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 9. Reading together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marvelled, glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straitly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. When the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marvelled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and may he help us and teach us how to pray and what to pray for. O Lord, in thy watchfulness, thy care over us, thy preservation towards us, thou hast been pleased to bring us through the scenes of this week to another Lord's Day. And O Lord, we do thank thee for all thy care and keeping towards us. May we continue to praise and to bless thee, for that thou art that one indeed who is always with and near thy people. The heart of thy love is ever upon and towards them. Thou seest them and beholdest them as the apple of thine eye. And O Lord, we do pray that we may be helped to realise the wonderment of thy grace towards us, in that thou art that one indeed that by thy gracious hand has brought us thus far and to this moment of time. And we thank thee, Lord, for bringing us into thy house of prayer this morning. And we do pray, Lord, that it may be with living desires to worship thee and to serve thee, that our hearts and our minds may be affectioned towards thee, that we may each be found before thee and at thy feet as true seekers of thy face. And O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt pour forth thy Holy Spirit upon us each. For without this, Lord, without this blessing, the grace of thy Spirit upon us, and our worship shall truly be in vain and empty. But, O Lord, we do pray, appear unto each one of us, and, O, do bless us with the unction of thy Spirit, and draw our hearts and our affections up unto thyself, and that we might, Lord, be blessed at this time, and see and behold the smilings of thy face upon us. O Lord, we have to come before thee, Lord, feeling much unworthiness in respect of these things. Thou knowest our constant prayer, our constant cry before thee is this, O Lord, that unworthy of the least of all the mercy and the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. We do believe that thy servant Jacob truly felt it. And so, Lord, we do believe it with thy people this day. Oh, that thou art ever with and near to us. Thou dost abound in all thy love and grace towards us. Thou art that one who has kept us and protected us, put a wall of fire round about us. Thou hast been that one to go before us in the way. Thou hast provided for us in all things, both health and strength naturally, and also inwardly and spiritually, and in our hearts and through the word. Thou art that one who hath made such gracious promises towards us. Thou hast given to us a hope and a faith and a love to thy name. And, O Lord, thou dost continue to do so many great things for us. Oh, we feel, Lord, that we are unable quite to render to thee the praise and the glory which is thy due. Come to our help, O Lord. We come, Lord, with the cry, the Syrophoenician woman, again and again thou knowest, Lord. But, oh, we do pray not an empty cry, not a vain cry. Lord, help me. Oh, both he that will speak in thy name and those that will be found in the pews of thy house here. Lord, help me. May it be the cry of each one of us. Oh, do, Lord, then undertake for us each, and be with us, and may we know what it is this day to worship and to serve thee. For thou art that one indeed who is faithful and in the midst of thy people, and thou hast done great things for them. And we have read of so many things in this chapter together, and where thou art glorified. And, O Lord, we do pray that we might be helped, Lord, in faith and love to come to thee this time with all our needs and all our concerns. We do pray, Lord, then draw near to each one of us. And, O Lord, if thou wouldest but soften our hearts, Lord, in love to thy name, may we know that constraining love towards thee. May we know, Lord, again the blessedness, Lord, of all that thou didst come to do for us. And particularly when we think, Lord, of Gethsemane and Calvary. O Lord, we do pray, O may thy love constrain ours to thee, under a sense and a knowledge of thy dying love towards us. O Lord, soften our hearts. Lord, melt our hearts in humbleness, in thankfulness, Lord, in praise and blessing to thee, that thou didst come, Lord, and thou wast found in the room and place of sinners. O Lord, if there be any hearts, Lord, that are hardened, rebellious and cold at this time, Lord, oh, do come through thy Spirit and melt them, Lord. Bring them, Lord Jesus, before thee, and by faith to behold thee upon Calvary's tree in their room and place. Lord, it is grace alone that can reveal and manifest Jesus to be the Saviour of sinners. And we do pray, Lord, that it may be our chief concern, our chief need at this time, that that grace may come to each one of us here, that grace that is able to save sinners, that grace that is able to humble, that grace that is able to give repentance, that grace that is able to show peace and pardon through thy precious blood, that grace, oh, that grace that saves sinners. Oh, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, Lord, a sinner saved by grace. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt appear, Lord, in thy rich mercy, and draw our hearts to thee in prayer and praise and thanksgiving for the wonderment of this grace shown to us at Calvary, even Jesus in our room and place. So do come, Lord, in thy rich mercy, and pray, Lord, that we may be enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that thou wouldest be pleased, Lord, to come and speak to each one of us through the gospel. Oh, Lord, the gospel that holds good news, but oh, that gospel that is able to meet all our needs as they may arise. And oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt indeed appear unto each one of us, that not one, Lord, should be sent empty away this day, Lord, from thy house of prayer, and without some token, Lord, of thine especial love and thy word in their souls. So, Lord, do come, we pray thee. We thank thee for bringing us to this day, the Lord's day. Oh, Lord, what a mercy it is to be sanctified and set apart and made separate, Lord, from all things else beside, we pray thee. And, O Lord, to reveal and manifest thyself to us, Lord. O Lord, what mercy it is, Lord, then to know the blessing that to be rather to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Lord, it is a mercy indeed that thou hast given to us a love and a desire for thy name above all things else here below. Oh, we think of that word, dear Lord, that thou art our treasure in heaven. And oh, we pray, Lord, that where your heart is, there shall your where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. We do pray, Lord, that that may be our portion at this time. So, Lord, do come into this gathering, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be brought and favoured at this time to hear thy word open each of our hearts, Lord, that we might grow in grace and knowledge of thee, that we may be edified in the things of Jesus Christ, that we might learn and know of thee. And, O Lord, we do pray this time that we may be enabled to say that we have been with Jesus. Keep our hearts and our minds stayed upon thee, Lord. Thou knowest how that we come before thee and beg, Lord, that thou wilt, Lord, keep our hearts upon thee, the proneness of them to wander, Lord, to turn aside. And, O Lord, we do pray, oh, that thou wouldest come in thy rich mercy and through thy Spirit, turn us and we shall be turned, and that we may be enabled to see none but Jesus. So, Lord, work in us thy Spirit and power, keep us close unto thee. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art with us in all our path, all our concerns and all our needs. And we do pray, Lord, that we might live by faith upon thee and serve thee all our days. We pray thee, be with all the gatherings, Lord, of thy people together at this time. We think, Lord, of thy causes of truth, and in this land, and those who worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, do visit and draw near to thy people, wheresoever they are, and do hear all the prayers and all the petitions that are offered up to thee this day. We pray thee, be unto thy people prayer hearing and prayer answering, calling upon thy name in faith, in love. We pray thee, and we do pray, Lord, for the twos and the threes that gather together. We particularly and prayerfully commit them into thine ever-merciful hands, that thou wilt be with them, Lord, and encourage them in their faith. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast kept the doors open of many of our causes of truth, with but twos and threes that gather. But thy promise abides the same, that thou wilt be with the twos and the threes. So we prayerfully commit them unto thee, Lord, and be with each and every one, Lord, in the path of trial, path of temptation, Lord, trouble, Lord, adversity, difficulties, those in sicknesses and diseases, Lord, those, Lord, the fatherless and the widow. Lord, we prayerfully commit each and every one unto thee this day. Be with them where they are, Lord, many unable to attend the means of grace, Lord, but do come and visit them, Lord, and be with them where they are, Lord, and give them, Lord, some token of thine especial love, Lord, a word in season to their souls, Lord. Help them, Lord, to rest their all in and upon thee, Lord, and that thou art their eternal refuge, Lord, and underneath the everlasting arms, Lord, may they know those everlasting arms that have borne them up and carried them, brought them thus far. Oh, Lord, those arms of covenant grace where they shall never pass through, not the blessing, Lord, of anything in and of themselves, but what thou hast done for them. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come to their needs, uphold them and keep them. And we pray for any unable to be with us at this time, Lord. Look down upon them, Lord, where they are. Keep them, preserve them, watch over them. Be a constant companion and friend to them. Thou hast promised, Lord, to comfort thy people. Thou wilt not leave them comfortless. I will come unto you. So do come, Lord, we pray thee. And we pray, Lord, for each of thy sent servants. Help them, Lord, as they stand forth upon the walls of Zion this day. Do grant them utterance, Lord, in thy name, and help them, Lord, to proclaim thy word before thy people. Comfort their souls. Bring them into the peace and the rest that is in the gospel, Lord. Meet their case and their need through thy word. And we do pray, Lord, that there may be a gathering in, Lord, even this day, Lord, those brought to feel their need of a Saviour, those indeed who have been taught through thy Spirit their sinnership, that they are sinners, but venturing with repentance towards Christ for mercy through his cross. O Lord, we prayerfully commit these things into thine ever-merciful hands, that thou wilt indeed gather to thyself all those whom thou hast ordained to eternal life. O Lord, we do pray now, be with us. Help thy servant to speak in thy name and help thy people with hearing ears and understanding hearts, and that we may be enabled, Lord, as the word is opened up to us, or that we may be enabled to be drawn to thee, Lord, in our faith and love to thy name. Help thy servant to speak then, Lord, and may he decrease and Christ increase through the pulpit. We ask these mercies in and through the name and person, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. 514.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 9, and reading from the last clause of verse 28. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 9, reading from the last clause of verse 28. Believe ye that I am able to do this. They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Believe ye that I am able to do this. They said unto him, Yea, Lord. We'll just sung one of my favourite hymns, if we should say that we have favourite hymns. They're all composed and written by the Spirit of the Lord. But dear friends, God's greatest glory, the person of his dearly beloved Son, is that he came to seek and to save lost sinners. And it's the glory of redemption's work. But oh, where does that glory shine forth? It shines forth in the souls of the undone, the wretched, the sinners. That is where the glory of God shines forth, in the person of his dearly beloved Son, to reveal Christ and manifest him, to be their Saviour and Redeemer, is the greatest blessing that can come into the soul of any poor sinner. But this chapter that we've read together, dear friends, it is a chapter that reveals and shows to us clearly God's glory in that work that Jesus came to do. Jesus said, or prayed to his heavenly Father in John 17, I have finished, I have glorified thee upon the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have glorified thee upon the earth. And this, dear friend, is a part of that where Jesus glorified his heavenly Father in showing forth his messiahship, the work that he came to do, to save sinners, to heal the blind, the lame, the deaf, showing forth his true messiahship, the sent one, he that came and bare witness and testimony of who he was and the work that he came to do. And we've seen it and read it together. The one with the palsy, the one that was sick, but oh, the precious truth that was shown to him. And this is the glory of God. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. To show clearly that he was able to save sinners and to the uttermost. And we see that blessed truth in the words of our text. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And the glory, he saw their faith. Faith in him, faith to believe, faith that he was able to cleanse, to heal. But not only from the diseases and sicknesses of the body, But that greatest disease, sin. Because that disease, dear friends, unless that is cured and healed, will send us to hell. Is the truth. And Jesus has power to save and to heal and to cleanse and to pardon and forgive crimson sins, showing forth the blessedness, not only that nature that he held as ours, except sin, but his divine nature, divine power, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Just this narrative of these two blind men. They had a deep need. Two blind men followed him, crying, saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." It appears that these two blind men, you know, they were dependent upon their ears. They were always mindful of anything that might be of advantage to them because they were blind. Anything that they may hear that may be a help to them. Something that may be of support for them. Something that they may be able to look to and to trust in respect of their condition. Being afflicted, being blind. It said, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Verse 26. And they heard it. They heard that fame. And our subject really is a subject of faith. They heard it. Their need was great. These two blind men, they were helpless. They were needy. They needed those to guide them and to lead them. They needed continual help. They needed always to look to others. They looked for the compassion and pity of others. They depended upon it. It was the way and the means of their living here below. Can we see their awful condition? They were beggars. And they followed him crying. There was no other hope for them. It appears that they knew somewhat of him. "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Oh, they appeared to know the scriptures. They appeared to know the promise in respect of David and he who would come forth through his loins, David's greater son, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, their poor minds, dear friends, were drawn to this dear man. Their only hope. Well, I may ask at this point, have you got a need? Whatever that need might be. You have heard of David's greater son. You have heard of the promise that was given to David, of that one that should come. But what about your need? What about your concerns? What have you come with this morning into the Lord's house with? Have we come just because it is the proper time to do so? Because it is the day that we should worship the Lord and come to the means of grace? Is it a pattern that you may think that I've done what I should have done? I've worshipped the Lord. But what about your never dying immortal soul? These men here were very poor men. They were beggars. They were brought to feel the need of Jesus. They couldn't do anything in and of themselves. Well, dear friends, what about your need? Your never dying immortal soul? It must live on forever. It must live on beyond time. How shall it be? If you should gain the whole world and lose your own soul, there was a cry put into their hearts to the only one that could do anything for them. They were assured of that. Their faith was fixed in that. The only one that could do anything for them. And Jesus is the only one that can do anything for us. None other. Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. I believe, dear friends, that in this term that they used here, they knew somewhat of the truth of that horn of David that was promised. I often think of this word from Psalm 132. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. And oh, this is the mercy, that I will clothe a priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed, the horn of David to bud. And this is the salvation that should come to poor sinners. If I just quote that word of Zacharias in Luke 1. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Dear friends, he hath redeemed his people as if the work was already done. That was his faith in this son of David, David's greater son. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Well, we know that the horn was that was either used to protect and defend or it was used to go forth with power to show authority. That is how the beasts, dear friends, they were often those that had predators, you see. The horn, how useful, how protective it was, but also how it enabled them to root out their predators, those that would come against them. And such is the greatness of our salvation, the captain of our salvation. See how Jesus, when he cried, "It is finished," upon the cross at Calvary, he rooted out all the enemies of the church in one pure and holy sacrifice. Once and forever, he gave the church the victory. This is the horn of David. And dear friends, Jesus cried, "It is finished." The work was done. The church was saved, just as Zacharias says here. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people," as if it were already done. He knew what Jesus had come to do. A sacrifice for the sins of his people. Dear friends, we want to know something about this, because the world is an enemy, and it's in us by nature. Sin is an enemy. It's in us by nature. The devil is an enemy, and it's in us by nature. Unbelief is an enemy, and it's in us by nature. And dear friends, the wages of sin is death. All those enemies, dear friends, only Jesus. And remember the just wrath of God, the justice of God for sin, the broken law, the curse of it, all belonged unto us. Jesus came to put all away in one sacrifice for sin at Calvary. "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Perhaps it may be a cry, dear friends, in your poor soul. I know when the Lord, through his Spirit, showed to me my sins, it seemed to be the only thing in my life, dear friends, thereon. Ah, yes, I had to, you know, go about, yes. But it seemed to be that was always coming in and upon my conscience. My sin was there. That was the burden, that was the trouble. Well, these two blind men, dear friends, they've got a big trouble. They cannot see. "Have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, it seems that Jesus was journeying to his house, traveling to his house, and it seemed as if he'd taken no notice of them. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men followed him, dear friends. They couldn't let this dear man pass from them. No, great was their need. What about thy need? You know, when the Lord troubled me over my sin, oh, it was all, "Lord, Lord, Lord." It was prayer. And the Lord, he will not despise the prayer of the destitute. He will regard their prayer. That is what we have here. Is that our cry, dear friends? Crying to the Lord. Poor, helpless, destitute, beggars. Cannot do anything for ourselves. The burden of our sin, the trouble of it on our consciences, that sin that can send us to a never-ending hell. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, or they were still following him. And just think of those two, as Jesus spoke to those two on the Emmaus Road. And Jesus went as if to go on. But abide with us. Oh, they couldn't let him go. Oh, see how he had so sweetly opened up the scriptures to them in respect of himself, the blessedness of his person, and their heart burned within them. Oh, they could not let this dear man pass by, neither could these two here let this dear man pass from them. No, is that thy case and thy need this time? You see? There's only mercy with him, none other. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came too. They would be guided and led. Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Here is their faith. Believe ye that I am able to do this? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? There's a word here in respect of what Gabriel said to Mary, and we may just notice this while I'm on this page in Luke, that you know that Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were in their old age. And you see that the Lord came to Zacharias and said that his wife Elizabeth would bear a child. She'd been barren. It must have been often a prayer to Zacharias in the years of his wife being barren, Elizabeth. I believe that he often cried to the Lord. Well, you know, the Lord, he came. And then when he came, he thought it was such an impossible thing. He thought it was such an impossible thing. They could never be done. They were well stricken in years, each of them. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. Jesus came also to Mary through the angel Gabriel, said that she indeed would bear a child. Well, she was betrothed to her husband Joseph. They were not yet enjoined together, but she didn't think anything impossible about that. But the word that Gabriel said, angel Gabriel said to her, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Able to do all things. The impossible things. These two blind men didn't think it was impossible that the Lord could open their eyes. They didn't think that their condition was too far gone. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? Well, dear friends, whatever your case and your need is, this morning, whatever you've come to the chapel with, whatever concerns you have, whatever they are, whether they're the concerns of your never-dying immortal soul, that will be a deep need and a deep concern if the Holy Spirit teach us and show to us that we're sinners. But then there are those other things troubles, trials, things that have come into our lives, things that may seem to be impossible. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? They offered up their prayers for mercy. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Is there anything impossible with the Lord? Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, as it were, in a moment. How strong was their faith? How strong was their need? But it was in the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? It was in the blessedness of this person. And Jesus, dear friends, is able. He said in one place, John 14, If ye ask anything in my name, believe ye that I'm able to do this. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If his will is in it, he will do it. And dear friends, if he has put a concern into thy soul and a trouble into thy soul and a prayer and a cry into thy soul, dear friends, he will come to that case and need. I think of the case of Anna, which I often do. I believe she's a beautiful picture of the church. Very humble, very low, meek. She was like unto her Lord. She had that nature of the Lord. We have to pray for these things. And I often pray that I might know more of the nature of Jesus. More of that humble and contrite spirit. Because to be found there, dear friends, we will always need Jesus. In all our concerns and in all our needs today, whether they're in providence or in grace, we have to come to him for everything. Everything. And remembering that there is nothing too hard for him, believe ye that I am able to do this. If you go to the Lord, dear friends, with any particular thing, any particular matter, go with this believing faith. The centurion, the Lord commended his faith. He said, speak the word only, you see. Oh, how great was his faith. The Lord commended him. He had not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. It's faith in the Lord. And it's that faith. The disciples of the Lord asked the Lord to increase their faith. And if they had faith as a grain of mustard seed, they're able to say unto this sycamine tree, be rooted up and cast into the sea. He is able to do it. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And dear friends, we do not have to just take the large things which seem to be mountainous before us. I have to take the little things. The little things. Sometimes I know this. That I haven't even got grace or wisdom to go about the little things. Need Jesus to direct us. Believe ye that I am able to do this. They said unto him, Yea, Lord. you know, Anna, if you see the prayer of the destitute in that dear woman. She poured out her soul unto the Lord. She was barren. And I believe for many years. But dear friend, she knew the throne. She knew the throne of grace. And she knew that there was only one that could do anything for her. And this word, dear friends, was a word that belonged to her. Believe ye that I'm able to do this. She kept coming and coming and coming. She was waiting upon his will. And he came to her. We come to someone that is able, dear friends, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to your faith, be it unto you. Dear friends, if we feel that we have not this faith in Jesus, this believing faith in him, pray about it. Pray about it. Come to him about it. Lay your heart before him, that this faith may be yours. It's an especial gift, because this faith will center in and upon the object of that faith, which is Jesus. And that is what we all want, faith in him. And it's over every matter, even the impossibilities. If you ask anything, the great things, the small things, what things are with you now and today? What concerns? That poor publican was much troubled and burdened over his sin and iniquity. His head was bowed down. But he knew the mercy seat. There was only one place for all his trouble. And there his faith was fixed. All the burden of his sin. And he cried for this mercy. But in crying for this mercy, believe ye that I'm able to do this. His faith was centered in Jesus. That yes, he was able to pardon his sins. And he went to his house justified. Dear friends, if there is a mountain of trouble in our lives, and I mean a mountain of trouble, it will be sin. It will be sin. We may have other troubles, but there will be no greater trouble than sin. No. And this may be an encouragement to a seeking soul, that Jesus is able to save unto the uttermost. All thy sins, past, present, and all sins to come. See the mountain of sin. See what Jesus can do. He's able, dear friends, to do great things. He's able to make the wolf dwell with the lamb. See it in Saul of Tarsus. See what he's able to do. See that wicked man Manasseh. See what Jesus is able to do. Believe. believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Oh, that believing faith in Jesus, that nothing is too hard for him. And what a mercy it is to have that faith in him. And those two, three, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, their faith was centered in Jesus, and they were resting in and upon him and his will in respect of their great need, ready to pass through the fiery furnace. But oh, here is the blessing in respect of them. That they were those Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Oh, dear friends, their faith rested in the Lord their God. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Oh, their faith was fixed, dear friends, in that truth, that he was able to deliver them. That there was nothing too hard for him, that he can put forth his power. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Yes, even had they passed through that fiery furnace, they would have had deliverance, because they were the saved and the redeemed of the Lord. That will be our final deliverance from all our troubles here below. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And they went forth into the fiery furnace, as it were, seven times hotter than it was wont. There was a fourth person in that fiery furnace, dear friends. The angel of the covenant, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And not a hair of their head was singed. That was their faith, wasn't it? He is able. And this truth belonged to them. Believe ye that I am able to do this. They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Well, dear friends, what about your case and your need at this time? Is there something difficult, something hard? Something that you're troubled about, unable to do or unable to accomplish? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Come to this same one to whom these two blind men came to. Put thy faith in him. You know, poor Zacharias, he was dumb and struck deaf because of his unbelief. And we've read together of Jairus and how that the Lord, in respect of him, see his faith, and he knew that the Lord was able to raise up his daughter. And so this is the truth of those things that Jesus is able to do. My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her. Believe ye that I am able to do this? You see, his faith was fixed firmly upon the dear Lord Jesus. And Jesus arose and followed him. And so did his disciples. Then behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Oh, dear friends, her faith. Oh, see how it shone. I know that she'd tried many physicians and so forth. But oh, beholding the Lord Jesus. Oh, she had that confidence and that trust that Jesus indeed was able to do something for her. He was able to cure her. And she touched but the hem of his garment. Daughter, be of good cheer, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, that faith in Jesus, you see. But then poor Jairus, they come, his servants come to him. Trouble not the master. Thy daughter is dead. Oh, see the poor man. We cannot come into his feelings at this time, can we? Thy daughter is dead. But Jesus knew. Jesus could look upon the heart. He sees the heart. And Jesus said unto him, be not afraid, but believe. It doesn't say it here, but I believe it's in either Luke or Mark. Be not afraid, believe only. That is what Jesus said to him. You can find it and look for yourselves. But be not afraid, believe only. You know how Jesus will come and comfort our poor souls. And I think of that word that what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. He became afraid. There'd been this woman seemed to be a hindrance and a distraction to Jesus coming to his house. Be not afraid. Believe only. And dear friends, the mercy that came. His faith was centered in Jesus. Believe ye that I am able to do this. They said unto him, yea, Lord. Well, Jesus is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And he is able to save unto the uttermost. I've mentioned Saul and that wicked Manasseh. Dear friends, my own case and my own condition, I was no better than those. Worse, dear friends. That is how I felt. But you see, fleeing to the Lord, that faith in him, that faith in his mercy, that faith in his precious blood, that faith that is able to cleanse and to heal sin and all its defilement, able to render and set the prisoner free. Jesus, believe ye that I am able to do this. Yea, Lord, he is able to save. And dear friends, I commit this dear man into thy hands for all thy needs, all thy concerns, whatever they may be. Continue to come to him. Commit all to him. Nothing is too hard for him. If ye ask anything in his name, is there anything too hard? Any difficulty beyond his help? No. Not at all. It's divine help, divine authority and power. And he can put forth his hand as he touched these two blind men here. He touched their eyes. And dear friends, he is able. And so this must be an encouragement to poor needy sinners today, that Jesus is able to save. None too far. There is no case too far gone for him. No, that he's able to come to that case and to that need. Believe ye that I am able to do this. And he is able to do this. Whatever thy case then, if it is sin, if it is the burden of sin, if it is thy salvation, then come to Jesus. Lay thy all before him. Is it thy home? Is it thy concern? Is it thy family? You see, whatever it is it thy workplace? Whatever it is, believe ye that I'm able to do this. Whatever it is, dear friends, come to him. Believe ye that I'm able to do this. They said unto him, yea, Lord, may that, friends, be our portion all our lives, that he is able to do all things for us. And dear friends, he will bring us to heaven where he is. Believe ye that I'm able to do this. Dear friends, it's through his cross he made a way to heaven for poor needy sinners. And sin might trouble and burden us all our journey through, dear friends. But oh, that heaven, that way has been made through mercy. And the sinner will come to that place. Is it thy sicknesses? Is it thy diseases? Is it those things, dear friends, that have come in and upon thee in thy lives? Believe ye that I am able to do this. Yea, Lord. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day, which were for the persecuted Christians in Iraq, amounted to £2,729, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach tomorrow at our special services, and the tea will be provided, and the collections are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Hart is expected to preach, and he hopes to address the Sunday school and present the TBS Bibles for the Scripture Learning Scheme. Let us close with hymn 602. Jesus the author is of true and living faith. This blessed grace he gives and saves our souls from death. By faith in him we live and view the wonders God alone can do. 602.
by grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.